no free frame on it. It's like just a quick moment. Did she really do that?
All right, rock and
roll. Okay. Hallelujah.
You met her, Jen.
Thank you. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord. Mm-hmm. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you for your blessings, dear Jesus. Lord, we thank you for taking care of our loved ones, dear Lord. We're so excited about the news for Janelle, dear Jesus, one that we've been praying for a few years, dear Lord. It was victory won today, dear Jesus, and we continue to look for more, dear Lord. For those that we are praying that are ailing, dear Jesus, and those that are just looking to hear from you, dear Lord, we pray, dear Jesus, this evening, dear Lord. Let that be a reality, dear Jesus. As Pastor Sandy, Lord, speaks your word, dear Lord, let it hit on solid ground, dear Lord. Let someone come and fertilize it and add water to it, dear Lord, and let you grow within them, dear Jesus. We thank you for an opportunity to sup together as a body once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Let me grab a marker because I might start writing a little bit because I want you guys to have your notes that says last generation study.
Amen.
Because when you know something, you can be excited. When other people don't know, then they're not as excited about you, but because they really just don't know. But we're gonna go tonight through, because a statement was made, and there's a guy named Amir Zafati. And I really like Amir Zavati. He's Ach from me, Israel. He's a brother from Israel. And he's a born-again Christian. And it's very hard for a Jewish person to even believe in Jesus with all of the pressure on them over there. And then it's even harder. You know, I've known Jewish people to accept Jesus Christ, but then as soon as you explain the rapture to them, they go, and what are you going to do with the Jewish people? Well, any Jewish person that wants to accept Christ can go. And so they don't, you know, it's hard for Jewish people to believe, first of all, in Jesus. Then it's really hard for them to believe that God is going to leave the Jewish nation behind to go through the tribulation, you know. And Amir Zafati made a statement and said, and it was a very good statement, but I always look at the base of why it's being said. The statement was, we can't be dogmatic about what a generation is, but we can be excited about all of the things that are going on right now that are telling us that we're living in the last day and the rapture could happen at any moment, okay? But I don't think he knows or understands clearly that God told us when the last generation would start, okay? And God told us how long the last generation would be, okay? So we don't have to sit around as born-again Christians guessing, when did the last generation start? When is the last generation over? You don't have to guess at that, because Jesus Christ told you directly, and since the beginning in Genesis, has already emphasized to you when the last generation would start, okay? Now, if we understand the time that we're living in, and there can only be so much time until from the time of the rapture to the 7-year tribulation, because it's supposed to be 3.5 and 3.5. I don't know how much he's going to cut it short at the end, but Jesus says it's going to be cut short. But we know that the rapture is consisted of a 7-year period of time, okay? And we know that once the Antichrist signs the peace agreement, that they will have 7 years from that time until the rebuilding of the temple and the Holy Spirit comes, or the Spirit of God comes to dwell in the temple. That will be the end of Daniel's 70th year, okay? And the Antichrist is gonna come. After we leave, he's gonna come, okay? So we're looking at clearing up two prophecies. One, the fig tree generation, which Christ returns on a cloud. And the other, the 70th week of Daniel, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside the temple that Jesus rebuilds, okay? So I want us to be clear about this, because I don't want people to say we're guessing about, like, the rapture could be in 20 years. We're guessing. Oh, the rapture could be next year. We're guessing. The rapture could be 5 years from now, or the other guy is this 2025 looks like that's the, it's impossible. You understand? And it's impossible because Jesus Christ himself told you when the last generation would begin. The Bible tells you when the last generation will begin, and the Bible tells you when the last generation will end, okay? So there's no guessing here. And if you're going to be bold about Christ, this is the time to be bold about Christ.
Amen.
And so as we look through this, then we'll get to why it's so important for us to know that God has given us a very clear indication of where we would be when this time came, okay? So, 1948 is a pivotal year throughout the whole world, okay? Israel became a nation again. And Israel becoming a nation was a statement or an event that the Bible had been talking about since, since Genesis. I was going to say Deuteronomy, but no, since Genesis. The Bible has been talking about 1948 since Genesis. And so when 1948 finally came, Jesus wanted us to know, when you see this happen, know that this generation will not pass until all these things happen, okay? So we're not like saying, well, we don't want to be dogmatic about when the generation starts. Yes, we do. You know why we do? Because the Bible is. Because the Bible tells you when it's going to start, okay? Well, we don't want to be dogmatic about when the generation is going to end. Yes, we do. You know why? Because the Bible tells us when it's going to end, okay? So my thing is, God always says, by my word, you will know that I am God. I'm going to speak it, and by my word, you will see when it happens that I am God. God is proving himself by his word, okay? I think it's Jeremiah 11, I'm not sure. But he says, what do you see? He says, I am watching over my word to make sure that it is accomplished, okay? So when I'm preaching about the rapture, I got God behind me. I got Jesus behind me. And he's saying to me, look, I already told you. I already told the world when this was going to happen. The fact that it's happening should not surprise you if you're in the Word and you understand that I'm just fulfilling my Word. We should not be surprised that the Microsoft thing is 060606 and there's going to be a digital currency. We should not be surprised. Me and Pastor Ben were looking at that thing in 2006 when the Rockefeller guy was being interviewed, and he said, our goal is to get every human being chipped. And if anybody wants to not do what we say, we will just turn off their chip. We were sitting there watching this same interview together.
Yep, sure did.
So all of this stuff is no surprise that it's happening, okay?
Yeah.
But you need to know that we can be dogmatic about the Word of God because the Word of God is fulfilling itself, okay?
Yes.
It's like saying to someone, well, you know, we don't want to be dogmatic about Israel really becoming a nation again. And then they become a nation. Well, we don't want to be dogmatic about them getting Jerusalem back. Well, the Bible says they are, so let's be what the Bible says is going to happen. Let's say what the Bible is saying.
Amen.
Let's not make up new stuff, but let's definitely say what the Bible says, okay?
Amen.
So, we're going to go slow because I want everyone to know all of this, okay? The name Eve. Hava equals 19 in Hebrew, okay? I want everybody that watches our studies to never use strong concordance and start talking about gematria. Strong concordance is only the number of the word that they put in that book. Understand? That is, the strong concordance is not a, you know, canonized copy of Hebrew. You know? It is just, this is the 10th word, this is the 11th word. They have no gematria in them, okay? You would have to take that Hebrew word and then take the value of each letter in that Hebrew word. Then you have the gematria. Because it's Strong's number 276, you can't start looking up what 276 means. Okay? So I want us to know that because we don't want to seem goofy to the world. You understand? Okay. So, Eve is 19. We'll get into some other stuff concerning 19 as well. But Eve equals 19. Now, you write a word like this. And I'm taking my time tonight,
man,
because we need to know. Now that's a bet, so it's 2, and then this is 20, and then this is 6, and then this is 20, so that equals 48, and that is the name of what? Star. Now our Hebrew class goes through the star constellations, and we realize that God placed 48 star constellations in the sky, and it tells you the complete gospel of what Jesus Christ is going to do. In the star constellation, there is a lamb that dies. There's a lamb that's revived. There's a lamb that becomes king of the whole world. There's a virgin that has a child. There's a virgin that her child is put to death, and that child comes back and becomes king of the whole world. So all of the star constellations are telling you 48 segments in 48 segments of star constellations telling you, we know that 19, Eve, sinned, but I've given you 48 constellations to let you know that salvation has been provided for the sin that Eve 19, 48 has been provided, okay? And so God, from the very beginning, places the whole world on these two events, sin and salvation. Sin began with 19, salvation began when I threw the stars in the sky. A matter of fact, let me tell you this. God threw the stars in the sky on the fourth day. Eve didn't sin until the eighth day. Huh? Do you understand? So understand everything that's going on. God is trying to say, look, I pre-planned this. I made sure that if Eve sinned, we have a salvation plan. Let me put 40 constellations in the sky. And so now you got, now once they sin, God says to Adam and Eve, he sees that they have decided, since they sinned and now they're naked, because before they didn't know that they were naked, so they must have been covered. Mm-hmm. Now that they're naked, he says to them, they say, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Now, Revelation 19 verse 10 says, the spirit of the word of the testimony of Jesus is prophecy. Okay? So the prophecy is, there is a group of people that will be called the fig tree generation. Yes. These are people will take a fig leaf and try to cover their own sins. They will not be able to cover their own sins. Then what did God do? He killed a lamb, made skin from it, and he covered them. So God is like, I am going to be the one to cover the sins. But there is a nation of the fig tree generation that's going to try to cover themselves with their own leaves, okay? And it's not going to happen. I have a 48 star constellation prophecy that I have already set in place that salvation is coming to man, okay? So God begins to talk about Israel and Israel falling away and Israel coming back, okay? So we're gonna look at into all that. Okay, so let's look at this. Okay, so I was talking to Carol, Amy's adopted mom, and I was explaining to her, you know, because she says, oh yeah, my husband, he watches you, but I took one look and I went, psh, I can't do it, right? She's like, there's too many numbers. So I'm explaining to her that the reason there are 66 books in the Bible is because God has 22 Hebrew letters. And those 22 Hebrew letters are what the Bible is based on. So 66 books, because God is a Trinity, is three sets of 22. 22 letters here, 22 letters here, then another 22 letters, and the Bible is based on the Hebrew letters, and that's why there are 66. So, when I count forward from Genesis and I get to Psalms, I come to the book of Psalms as the 19th book. When I count backwards from Revelation, I come to the book of Psalms, but it's 48 books. Is it a possibility that that was an accident, or God is saying, I want it that way because I'm still fulfilling this? 19 and 48. I need that air, Pastor Ben.
I just turned it up.
I felt like it. Oh, okay. Okay, now it feels it. Okay. So God is like, I am fulfilling 1948, okay? So God makes the 19th book of the Bible from Genesis, Psalms. He makes the 48th book backwards from Revelation, Psalms. And he's still telling you the same thing. 1948 is going to be big. Okay? And so as we see this, we get to the chapter 48 in the Bible, and the whole chapter in 48, in the 19th book, in the 48th chapter, is talking about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Now, I gotta explain to you, it doesn't just talk about it in a vague way. It gives you details about exactly how it's going to happen. You understand? So it begins with what? First, Israel comes back into the land. Then what happens? After Israel comes back into the land, then what happens? Five nations are going to join. So it says the kings joined forces, and it says it in the scripture, right? The kings joined forces, and they came against her, and then they fled in terror. So God won the war for her. So God is telling you that once they come back into the land, they're going to be attacked. God is going to win the war, and they're going to remain in the land. They're going to flee. And then it says, after they win the war, and then it says, go around Zion, counter towers, look at the ramparts. And he says, and when you see this, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, to the last generation. Okay? So this is why God says, you've got to learn Hebrew. Because if you don't, many words are going to slip by. And it's because if you read it in English, it says, when you see this happen, go tell it to the next generation. That's the word haba in Hebrew. That word's not there. Okay? Go and tell it to the following generation. That word's not there. But go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, the last terminal. It actually means the terminal generation. The meaning the last of the generations is going to begin when you see this happen. So, can we be dogmatic about the fact that the last generation began in 1948? Yes, why? Because the Bible is dogmatic about it. It tells you when it's going to happen, okay? So you don't have to sit around wondering, I wonder if it started in 1967. It started in 1948 because the Bible is telling you, when you see this happen, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. Okay. It is so amazing that if we go to Psalms 19, let's go to Psalms 19. That doesn't feel cold anymore. What did you do, Pat? Oh, it goes on and off. Okay. Okay, now watch this, you guys. Since the 48th tells you about the recovery of Israel, chapter 48, 19 tells you this. The heavens declare the glory of God. You see that in chapter 19? You see that? The numerical value of that first sentence is 888. Who's bringing salvation? Jesus Christ. But he's not here yet because we don't have Greek. But in the Hebrew, in the 19th chapter, God makes sure that the first sentence is, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So the star constellations is speaking to the whole world. It's giving you God's plan in picture form. You understand? It's giving the world God's plan in picture form. It's so clear that Babylon is looking in the star constellations and making up their own gods from what they see in the star constellations. And it's so worldwide that every nation, even in America, with the Indians, they had came up with a virgin having a son and becoming a god. So the star constellations were clear concerning God's plan of salvation. Satan was having them use it to corrupt the plan so that the people of the world don't know what the real plan is. Amen. Okay? So, 19 talks about the stars and that the stars are telling us what's going on. Now, we get to this very beautiful portion. If you're still on page one, Adam is created, and then after Adam, you count 1948 years later, and Abraham's father begins to have children. In the 1948th year, he begins to have three boys. And you say, wait a minute. From Adam to Abraham, 1948 years? Okay. If the Bible says there's a second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ to 1948, you got the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So God is like, look how precise I am. Both Adams, after 1948, the birth of the nation of Israel is born, because Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. And so after the second Adam, 1948, now you got Israel rebirth. Why are we not being dogmatic?
Right.
We should be like, have you seen what he's done in the past? Do you understand what's going on? Are you really? See, I'm so excited right now, and I can't understand anybody that's not excited. And I go, oh, they don't really understand everything that's going on. They don't, because if they did, they would be like me. They would be like on pins and needles, ready to go. I don't think even my own family really knows, like, study by study, where we're at. But they hear about it all the time. Okay? So, let's go to page 2. Okay. All I did on page 2 was this. I put the word acheron, okay? And I got it from the King James or the Strong's definition and the lexicon, the Genesis lexicon, just to look at the word acheron, okay? Because here it says this word is used 20 times as last, 15 times as the latter, 2 times at the end, 2 other times at the utmost, okay? Only 1 time is used as following, and that is in the scripture that is misplaced. The hindermost, okay? So the word acheron is always talking about the end of time, okay? If you go down to when 2021 in Israel was the year 5781, and 2021 consists of 5781 and 5782, because we understand September to September, right? Yes. 1948 was the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Okay? So that means now God is like, even though I'm showing you 1948, do not think that I don't understand the other calendar. 5708 on the Hebrew calendar is 1948 on the Gregorian calendar. Okay? So he put in the Torah the year that is going to happen, and he puts the scripture there that says this. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possess, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Okay? So he said in 5708, I'm going to bring you back to your land. And I'm going to bless you more than I blessed your fathers in that land. Okay? So good to see you guys. So here we are in 2021, and in the scripture for the year 5782, the Bible, let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Okay? And it says, if only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their latter end, or mine, in the, it says, discern what their end will be. But in the Hebrew, it says, if only they knew it was the acharon, the last days, the terminal year. Okay, so because we're past the generation, it says if only they knew and understand that this is the acharon year, this is the time of their ending. It put that scripture in the year 2021 through 2022 in the September to September thing, right? So God is like, I'm trying to tell the Christians what day and time they're living in, okay? So that they know what happened in 2020 was not an accident. That was a warning for the whole world. What was the warning? There's someone coming that's going to control the whole world, and everything you do will be in their control. He's called the Antichrist. We saw it happen, and everybody was like, how in the world can you shut down Vegas?
Okay. Vegas.
The streets were empty in Vegas and no lights were on. Why? And then if you tried to open, they would arrest you. If you tried to walk in the place, they would say, where's your mask?
Yep.
It was crazy. How did we so fast forget about what happened in 2020? We're back going, well, see, everything's okay. We ought to just get back to doing what we were doing. And nobody's thinking, maybe we're living in the last days. They're talking about digital currency and 666 and chips. Nobody's staying on God's calendar. People are starting to get relaxed again. And this is what is human nature, okay? Human nature, as long as I can go to the mall and my cell phone's working, everything's okay. Okay? But God is letting you know you're living in the last days. Prepare for something greater. Okay. Watch this. Daniel chapter 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end to sin, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring the everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. Okay? So that is the prophecy that was given to Daniel. It's 70 times 70, which is 490 years. Okay? The meaning of the number 70. 70 has a secret meaning in the Bible that is made up of the factors of two perfect numbers. 7 representing perfection and 10 representing completeness and God's law. As such, it symbolized perfect spiritual order carried out with all power. It can also represent a period of judgment, which would be 70 years. Let's go to the next page, page 3. Wow. Okay, now, so the Daniel prophecy was for 490 years. The word Bethlehem just also has the numerical value of 490. The word in Hebrew, Melakti, Melakti, which means my birth, is my nativity, okay? So that also has 490, okay? The word in Greek for birth or nativity, which they translate as generation. You hear that? So when Christ says this generation will not pass, what was he saying? From my birth to my nativity. Did Christ make a prophecy concerning from his birth or his nativity of something that would happen? from the birth of Jesus to the 70th year is his generation. Jesus prophesied of the generation and the temple in 70 AD. What happened to the temple in 70 AD? It was destroyed. Listen to what Jesus says. First of all, in Matthew 23, verse 36, he says, "Truly I tell you, all this will come upon this generation." This is Jesus talking. So what generation is he talking about? My nativity. He said, "From my nativity, this will come upon this generation." Okay? He says, "Look, your house is left desolate." What house was he talking about? The temple. He said, "Look, your house is left desolate." He gets to Matthew 1 and 2, and he said, Jesus says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the building. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came to him to call his attention to the building. Jesus says, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly, I tell you, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." He says, when? This generation. Check any history book, documented, 70 AD, the temple is destroyed. And look at the book of Josephus. And in the book of Josephus, it talks about Titus' ark in Rome. They celebrated the destruction of 70 AD. Now, the Roman guard told them, "Turn over every stone. Because there's gold in the temple, I want every stone turned over." Jesus says every stone is going to be turned over. So Jesus knew what he was going to make them do 32 years later, or 38 years later. So they turned over every stone in 70 AD, and the temple was completely destroyed, and every stone was turned over in the exact year that Jesus said it would happen. How do you make human beings take warnings? If it's not happening right now, they don't want to hear about it. Because once the threat is over, okay, we can get back to doing what we're doing. Nobody's looking at what God is doing right now. And that is a big problem. Because Christians, even Christians, are like, "Let's go back to sinning." The same God that said 70 AD would happen is the same God that says, "Oh, by the way, we created a place called hell for people who reject Christ." It's like, are we thinking? Where's our brains? Okay, let's continue. Okay, if you're on page 4, Flavius Josephus described the destruction of Jerusalem from the birth of Jesus to the end of 70 AD. Now watch this. Watch this. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to this. "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, all of Joseph's brothers and Jacob came to Egypt when Joseph was 39. Joseph died at the age of 110. So when Joseph died, he was 71. He was the last of them to die, because all of Joseph's brothers died before him. So it says, "And Joseph died, and all of his brothers, all in that generation." So how long did all of his brothers live? 70 years. You understand? Joseph died when he was 71, but all of his brothers had already died. All of the generation that came to Egypt died before Joseph. That means that in the 70th year, they had all died, one generation. So who's telling you when a generation is? The Bible is. God creates Adam. He says, "The day you sin, you're going to die." Adam lives to be 930. How long is a day to God?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. So if Adam died when he was 930, how much time is left for a full day?
70 years.
So God is always telling you a generation is 70 years, okay? So since 1948 and Israel was rebirthed, to the end of that 70th year was the end of the 70th year that God said would be the end of that generation.
Yes.
Okay? So you say, okay, from 1948, let's give it 2028 through 2018 through 2019, because that would be, for that whole year, they would be 70, okay? So, did anything happen in the 70th year? Nothing. Jesus says, this generation, when you see the fig tree rebirth, Israel rebirth, this generation will not pass until all these things happen. And he says, you'll see me coming back on a cloud before this generation is over, okay? So now you go, well, 70 years passed and nothing happened. Let's go back to the mall. Our phones are working. You got to study the word, okay?
Amen.
Okay. The birth of Israel, the fig tree generation will not pass until. Okay, here we have. Oh, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 22. I love Deuteronomy because it's, I just think it's funny because God is telling them what they're going to do before they do it. You know, God is telling them, oh, wait a minute. Now look. What God is telling them in chapter 29 is, like, say you're about to get you are going to get a house. You are looking to buy a house. You haven't even been approved yet, and God comes to you and says, "Now, when you move into your new house, you're going to start acting arrogant, like you don't care about me anymore. And so, I'm going to have some people come in and throw you out of your house. But in the latter days, I'm going to bring you back into your house. And you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I haven't even moved into the house yet." We're not even approved yet, right? This is what God does to Israel. He tells them before they even get into the land. Now, when you move into the land, you're going to start sinning. And when you start sinning, I'm going to kick you out. But don't worry, I'm going to still love you and I'm going to bring you back.
Wow.
And they're probably looking, going, what is he talking about? We don't even have a land. We're wandering in the desert. What is he talking about? Joshua hasn't even crossed us over yet.
Amen.
Okay, so you in 29?
Yes.
Let's read verse 22. The children who follow you in the Lador HaAcharon, you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, because it says the children who follow you in the later generations, it doesn't say that. It says in Hebrew, the children who follow you in the last generation and the foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamity that has fallen on the land and the disease in which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt, sulfur, nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, or Adama and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew with fierce anger. All the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce burning anger? So listen, God says in the Lador HaAcharon, when you come back, it ain't gonna be a pretty place. When they move back to Israel, you know, even the Arabs didn't want it until they moved back. Until they named it Israel, they didn't want it. Why? There was no vegetation growing there. It was just a dry desert wasteland. There was nothing growing there. If you take a picture from the time they landed to what it looks like now, you would go, wow, God is real.
Yep.
But God is telling them, in the last generation, in 1948, when you come back, it's going to be a desert wasteland. But God refurbished it and brought them back, and he blessed them, right? But God is telling them, this is what's going to happen. So God is always talking to them about this return. Of course, we know Psalms 48, verse 13 says, when you see this, when you see Israel return, go and tell it to the Lador Acharon. Go to page 5. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider this place, that you may go and tell it to the last generation. Israel, barren desert before 1948. Listen to that. You see, I put the website there so you can go and read about it yourself, okay? So you can go and say, what did the land look like when Israel came back? A desert wasteland, okay? 1897 was barren desert wasteland before 1948, like the world and the country in the barren desert wasteland. Okay, now watch this in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 3. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Watch this. You guys got to understand, whatever year you were born, you walked in on the middle of a very exciting movie. It's called The Rescue of Living Souls. And it's about an enemy who's trying to kill all God's people. And God's trying to save them. And so you're born into this, okay? When you're born, you have no idea your soul is in danger. You have no idea. You have no idea your soul is in danger. When you're born into this world, somebody has got to get you caught up on the movie. You're like, why is there so much profanity in all the rap music now? Well, before you were born, it wasn't like that. But we have an enemy, he's trying to kill us. You have to explain this. Was there ever a world war before? Yeah, but before you were born, Hitler for 6 years killed over 6 million people, and another antichrist figure is coming like him. He's going to try to kill the whole world in 7 years too. You're in the middle of a movie. You've got to know and understand this movie is about saving you. Either you can cooperate with God or not, but there's a place for both people. Excuse me. Are you in Ezekiel 37? Listen what it says. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And he speaks to the bones, and the bones start having flesh on it. And then now this valley is full with living people.
Yes.
God said he's going to do that in Israel. And he did it. Okay, now, Israel was in Germany calling for next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. They're doing the same thing we're doing now. Next year in Zion, next year in Zion. They were doing the same thing that we're doing now. But you know what? They never stopped saying it.
Amen.
Now watch, but you know what? Came a time where there was no next year. They were there. Okay? Now, on page 5, Isaiah 32, verse 17. And it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that Tyre, that the Lord will visit Tyre And she shall turn to her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kings of the world upon the face of the earth. Okay? God had made a prophecy about the land of Tyre and that he was going to come back 70 years later and destroy it. In the Bible, it gave the exact amount of time, so it was exactly 70 years and God came back and destroyed Tyre. Okay? So that prophecy of 70 years was complete. We read Exodus because Joseph died and all his brothers in all that generation. So we know he calls it a generation. Why? Because in the 70 years, all of Joseph's brothers had died off. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. When did they come out of Babylon? At the end of exactly 70 years. So God kept that prophecy. Matthew chapter 23. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Talking about the 70 years and the destruction of the temple. Did it happen?
Yes,
it did. Then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, Jesus says, verily I say, this generation, what generation? The fig tree generation. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Till what's fulfilled? Until you see me coming on a cloud to rescue Israel.
Yes.
Okay? So, 70 years passed and nothing happened. So we got to look for what happened. You got to go to Psalms verse 90, verse 10. Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. Well, I'll say 70 years, because if I go 70 and 10, everybody will go, what the heck? 70 is 20, 20, 20, and then 10 is 70. So it says, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, mean they be 80, yet in their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. This is why you learn Hebrew. Because somebody in English is trying to, okay, you know, they're trying to take a Hebrew sentence and make sense out of it in English, okay? I want us to go to Psalms 90. Because in Psalms 90, this whole chapter, it's not just this. This is the whole chapter is talking about Israel, okay? It says in Hebrew, in chapter in 90, verse 10, it says, the length of our days are 70 years. Or 80, it says, or 80, because of Rechav, and then it gives the Hebrew word, but because of Rechav, it will be 80. What is Rechav? Arrogance and pride. So he's telling Israel, the number of the days is 70 years, but it's going to be 80 because of what? Arrogance and pride. But there will be Amal, there will be trouble. And there will be avon, wickedness and sorrow. So he's saying they're about to go through wickedness and sorrow because of their arrogance and pride. Okay? The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we, because of our arrogance and pride, yet the span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. Hear the Jewish people? Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servant. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. This is Israel pleading with God. How long is this tribulation going to last? You're saying the generation, this is supposed to be over with, and the Messiah is supposed to be back, but now you're saying because of our arrogance and pride, it's going to be 80. So now we go from 1948 to 2028, and that whole year there'll be 30 to 2029. I mean, there'll be 80 till 2020, because when you turn whatever age you turn, you're that age for how long? A whole year. Only kids go 4 and a half. You are that age till the year is over, right? So for that whole year, from 2028 to 2029, Israel will be 80. In that time, I expect the clouds to burst. Amen. I expect the Lord to come on a white horse, on the cloud. I expect to be riding behind him in white horses to rescue the nation of Israel. And we're going to read about that tomorrow, because on Sunday, I gave a message, but God was speaking to other people, and God wouldn't let me go to the notes. So he said, no, I want to say this, and I want to say that. But I want to show you, because God was trying to express something on Sunday. Now, look, those 80 years are coming. So God is saying, look, everything that's going on now is because I already prophesied it, and you're at that time. So you got a war going on, you got talking about digital currency, you got all this stuff going on, you had a worldwide famine, you got all this stuff going on. It's warning you that what's about to happen is about to happen if you're studying and you know your word, okay? This summer, we read last week, this summer is very dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Everything is saying the wedding happens in the summer. So here we are, almost July. And some people are like, oh, it's all back to normal. We can relax now. Okay, now,
3 minutes.
Tomorrow. I got 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're awesome, Pastor Dan. Okay, so Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 and 34. Now learn the lesson of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and put forth leaf, you know that what's near? Summer is near. So likewise, when you see all these things happen, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Jeremiah 24, verse 3 through 7. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? I said, figs. The good ones are very good, but the evil ones are very evil that you cannot eat them. They are so evil. So God refers to what? Israel. He said, the figs that you see is the land of Judah and the land of Israel. Okay? So God is telling you the fig tree. We saw the fig tree rebirth.
Yeah.
We saw 1948 come into the world, prophesy all the way from Eve to the constellation of the stars. And so 1948 has started, and then the 80th year ends 2028, 29, and 7 years of tribulation has to be there, so, and you don't want to be in that. So you don't have a whole lot of time to be here. And when the Lord comes, he wants to take you.
Yes.
He wants to take you.
Yes.
You're in the movie. He's expecting that somebody told you the plot. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you got to be ready when he comes. Somebody should have told you the plot from your birth to now so that you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The plan doesn't change because you don't know. And the plan don't change because you don't believe.
Amen.
I'm just going to review this. Tomorrow we're going to look at the capstone. Again, okay? Because that capstone, the whole reason the Lord was trying to tell me Sunday was the fact that if there was no war going on, if there was no enemy, then the Antichrist would never put the all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid. If there was no war going on, if God had no enemy, then there's no reason for someone to put the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid, on top of the one, on back of the $1 bill, to let you know that Lucifer is going to be the capstone on the pyramid.
Amen.
When God told us he was going to put the building in there, and then tomorrow when we look at it, you're going to see there are scientists that are saying the place is remarkable. The numbers in it, the circumference of the earth of the northern hemisphere and the diameters of the pyramid are the same. The 365.2422, which is a year, is for all four corners. It says, but inside the four chambers inside the pyramid are built like the heart on a human being. So whoever put the pyramid there also knew how he made the heart. So I'm just saying, God is saying, but God said, I'm going to put the building there. And so God is like, I'm telling these people everything, letting them know that I am God. All this is happening in front of them. And everybody is like, yeah, but things will go back to normal. And 10 years later, everything will be the same. And God's like, no, you're not living in that day. Wake up. Wake up. It's time.
Oh, yes.
And I hope people wake up. Praise God. Amen. We'll talk tomorrow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Out,
my wife's going to pray me out. Look at Gigi. What's up, man?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
Hair looks good on you. You used to have a little like Pastor Ben cut. How you doing? Are you running track? Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
All right, let's pray.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, dear Jesus, this evening, dear Lord, for the word that went forth, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, that truth is being taught, dear Jesus, and that those that have an ear to listen, dear Lord, that their spirits were filled this evening, dear Jesus. Help us to have a passion and a thirst to do your will, dear Lord. Help us to go out to the byways, dear Lord, to share your word and to encourage others, dear Lord, as well as encouraging ourselves, encouraging our flock, dear Lord. Help us to continue to reach out to one another, dear Lord, and build up the saints, edify. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray right now that the pastors are replenished this evening, dear Jesus, that as much as they pour out, dear Lord, that you fill them back up, dear Lord. We thank you for a cup that overflows with your glory and with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, we thank you and bless you. Amen.
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 Amen. Hey, so what are you running?